And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your ba-boom.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, though? I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
We're Jalen Jacoby. What do we do?
We get the people.
The people, what they want.
They want.
What a show. Today we have for you, Anthony Davis was in a shoulder harness in the second quarter and I was freaked out. And then he put up 40 and 20. We have the Mavs. Surprising win for the Mavs. We'll tell you exactly why it was surprising.
Why were you freaked out? You die easy Laker fan?
Listen, I'm an NBA fan.
Okay.
I'm an NBA fan.
First and foremost.
Anthony Davis gets injured. We got problems as a whole.
Fair.
Okay.
You're right. We got a very special guest that's joining the program. And you guys know we keep a really tight VIP list. We're going to tighten it back up even further as the show progresses. Joseph Sikora.
Yes.
Will be here today.
If you don't know who that is, you do know who that is. You just don't know who that is.
Joseph Sikora will be here today. Hanging out with Jalen and Jacoby.
If you don't know who Joseph Sikora is, he plays somebody that you do know. He is the actor, the human being, the actual human being behind the character, Tommy on Power. I love Tommy on Power for the same reason I love Tyler Hero.
Tell him why.
I think I could haircuts.
And Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, they're all just like, you know, I just like the way that they play the game.
How about the fact that he's hosted this show with me before when you were out a couple of days? Friend of the program. We're excited that he's going to be here
today. Whenever I'm out a couple of days, all of a sudden you get all the big stars in here.
Shout out.
I should leave more often for the good of the show, for the ratings. We got Jacoby, we noticed the ratings are double when you're not there. Sorry, you're fired. We start the show with the NBA action late last night. Anthony Davis is playing for the Lakers. Started well, but then started moving his shoulder a little bit. And then this is when my heart started to sink for the Lakers. He went back to the tunnel. And I was very concerned. I've never seen that thing before. I don't know what that is. But you know what? All is well in the La La Land because he did come back and he was dominant. Scored 40 points, had 20 rebounds, had 26 of those 40 from the free throw line. Jalen, what do you think about AD's comeback dominance out of the tunnel?
So the distinction between the Lakers and everybody else has to be their size and their physicality up front.
Yep.
You have LeBron James, who's one of the greatest physical specimens that the league has ever seen. You have Kyle Kuzma, who could get you buckets at 6'9 from the three and finishing in the half court and full court. You have Anthony Davis, who a lot of people consider a top five talent in the league. But the distinction has to be him dominating.
Yes.
It's one thing for him to be out there. It's another thing for him to be dominating. Because, for example, when you play against the Clippers, they got Paul George. They got Kawhi Leonard. But guess what they're not? 6'11".
No.
Montrezl Harrell get all of the hustle plays. 6'9".
Mm-hmm.
They need him to play big. And my favorite stat of the night for him is actually after that injury, he came back in the third quarter, 18 for 18 from the free throw line in one quarter.
He was attacking. 26 for 27 from the line.
I don't need him settling.
Mm-hmm.
He can shoot, not a knockdown shooter. He can make threes, never be Larry Bird. I need him attacking.
But it's also one of those things where it's like, well, he had 40 points, but he only had 7 field goals. The reason he only had 7 field goals, because they couldn't stop him. They just fouled him. Like, there's a lot of that. I watched the game. It was a lot of just like, I got nothing else to do. I'm just going to put him on the line. And he would sink them both. It was a dominant performance from AD. It's something I look forward to seeing. But his health, man. When I saw that contraption on his shoulder, I was like, oh, this could be another one of those Lakers seasons.
But also, so now you try to at least hope to get Kuzma back. Dwight Howard giving you good minutes. Mm-hmm. JaVale McGee give you good minutes. But then you got to rest Anthony Davis. You can't have him going through the entire season.
No, that ain't going to work.
Or the entire week, or the month.
We know what happens when Anthony Davis has to carry too much of the load. We've seen that before. Close game in Denver between the Nuggets and the Mavs. I watched a lot of this one, too, because you know I love the Mavs. It came down to the wire. Very close game. Luka, listen, clutch Luka. Goes right, finishes left. Great play. That puts him up three. Then what happened next was the Nuggets missed a shot. Luka missed two free throws, by the way.
That was surprising.
Two free throws, and Jamal Murray heaved this up. Shot clock runs out, and the Mavs get the win. Jalen, the Mavs are 3-1. I like to overreact as a media guy, but I'm not going to do it here. But can they challenge some of the best in the West consistently?
Consistently, yes.
Okay.
In the regular season, when you have talent, and they do have such.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about Luka at 6'7". Finishing at the basket. He or Porzingis didn't put up big numbers.
Oh, no.
That's a quality win on the road. And on the other side, a team like the Nuggets, who we anticipate is going to be one of those squads that they have to go against.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see Jokic be dominant.
No, I he had told a triple you about double. Jokic. He's feast or famine. He had triple double, but he had a Draymond Green triple double. 10-10-10. Like, he had triple-double, but I said this about Jokic, so I'll say it again.
Draymond Green had a huge triple-double the other day.
I know. I'm saying this. I'm nothing about Draymond. I'm saying about Jokic. It's feast or famine with him sometimes. Sometimes it's like 30-17-9, and sometimes it's 10-10-10.
And for a young Mavs team, as we talk about all of the top duos in the league, there are only two of them that haven't necessarily gotten to their prime.
Yes, yes. I like it when you plagiarize my points.
Philadelphia. And the Mavs, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I would say the Mavs even have more road in front of them than Embiid and Simmons do because of Embiid's injury issues. And one thing I want to point out about this game is we all talk about KP and Luka. But they had contributions from so many players last night.
Jalen Brunson,
Curry, Finney Smith, Hardaway Jr. They had 9 players in double figures. Now, is this sort of like a fluke occurrence for them, or can they rely on this?
That's two words. Well coached.
Mm.
See, I always look at certain squads, and when you look out on the floor, are these recognizable players, or are they being coached up? Miami gets you that. Look at their box score. The Mavs get you that. Look at their coaches. Rick Carlisle, Eric Spoelstra. Two of the top in the game.
I like what you're doing here. Rick Carlisle happened to be your coach, but you always bring him up. And I'm going to say, I'll say something that I know you always think. Underrated, underappreciated coach in the National Basketball Association. Just because they're not in the playoffs all the time, and just because they don't go deep into the finals, that he doesn't get respected the same way a Pop does, but the longevity and the consistency that he puts out there doesn't get spoken about enough.
Absolutely.
Except by you. Well, Jimmy Butler made his debut for the Heat, and he played pretty well, especially with this crossover that he had on Tyrone Wallace. Sorry about that. There he goes. But Jalen, do you know what this game was about? There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes. Tyler Hero, my guy, with the fresh cut and the buckets. 29 points, 19 in the second quarter. Jalen, who was the last rookie for the Heat to get 29 points?
It had to be Dwayne Wade.
It had to be Dwayne Wade. I mean, he's on par with Dwayne Wade career-wise right now.
What second-year player in the league do we talk about on this program that gets no love nationally that plays for Oklahoma City?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
What rookie in the preseason did we adopt for this program?
We did. Tyler Hero. It's like, it's one of those bands that blows up because we were in on Hero early and not everyone's in on Hero. It's like, where were y'all in August? You know, where were y'all in August?
And I have to ask a serious journalistic question.
I know this is not going to be a serious journalistic question. So
it is. How good does it feel to see a white guy out there balling like that?
I don't even notice. I mean, that's not the reason I love him. I love him because of his game and the way he approaches the game and his skill set. That's the reason I love him. It has nothing to do with his race, Jalen. How would you even insinuate such a thing? I'm insulted personally. Insulted. But, Jalen, there is some bad news.
That means great.
Trae Young goes up, lands on a foot. We've all done it. If you've ever played basketball anywhere. Yep. And The good news is Woj somehow got the information that the x-rays were negative like 45 seconds later. I don't know how he does this.
Woj is in the x-ray room.
Yeah, he was. Woj did the actual x-rays.
Woj is the MRI machine.
He really is. He hacked into the machine and got the information that the x-rays are negative. They said it's not serious. They also said maybe 2 weeks, I read somewhere. I mean, Trae Young exploded out of the gates. You've obviously had ankle injuries like this one. When do you expect him to sort of be back at full strength?
The severity is always key. Your tolerance of pain is always key. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to play it safe. In this case, with his body being as small as he is in relative size to the people that he plays against, you're not necessarily heavy. So you hope that you can return from an injury to one of your lower extremities versus somebody that has more mass. But one of the things I want to make sure I tell people, told them about this guy last year too.
Okay.
Collins can ball.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I know we're going to talk a lot about Trae Young. And I told you the four position and the point guard position in the East in particular are proven grounds for young players. Pascal Siakam.
There's opportunity there, too.
Yes. Julius Randle. All of these guys. He making threes now.
Mm-hmm. And if rookie year, there was flashes. Last year, it was legitimate. This year, it's going to be national household name, John Collins. I think so, too. Jalen. Wild game six in Houston. For some reason, everyone's talking about this interference call on first base. I find it to be somewhat insignificant when it comes to the outcome
of the game.
It's
still a big call, David.
It's a big call. I watched it. The delay was 4 minutes and 22 seconds. It's something that we all saw. Like, make a decision. But we're not going to talk about that because I found this much more interesting. First inning, Bregman, home run. Look how deep that ball went. And then he carries the bat to first base and kind of like tries to give it to the first baseman, drops it, and then Soto. This ball went so far. I've never seen a ball go that deep into right field in that stadium. And he carried his bat too as a little homage and dropped it for the first baseman. And then Rendon, this was the one that was after the controversial call that put the game away for the Nationals. Jalen, who did you say was going to win this game?
The Nationals.
Why did you say they were going to win the game?
Steven Strasburg is really good when he gets on the mound, and Justin Verlander has not been successful in World Series games.
So Steven Strasburg, what was so impressive about his performance to me was just how deep he went into the game.
Correct.
Like, I thought like after the sixth, maybe he would come out. Maybe after the seventh, he would come out. But he went so deep into that game. It was really impressive.
Because you now know that there's a sense of urgency. You see a finality there. And I talked about this team as we started to cover these playoffs. This reminds me of when the Diamondbacks had Schilling and Randy Johnson. Mm-hmm. It seemed like those were two guys that won every game that they pitched. They lost when those guys were not pitching. But pitching always trumps really good hitting. And so now all of a sudden, if you get Scherzer back for game seven, it's going to be lights out.
Yep. Well, it's time to get people what they want. So let me tell you about sleep a little bit. Sleep has been in the sports news a lot. ESPN ran a column about sleep deprivation in the NFL. I mean, the NBA. You know how important sleep is to NFL players as they rest and recuperate from a game. And the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the best bed for sleep. Sleep is so important. And here's the thing why the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the perfect bed for you. If you are lucky enough to share a bed with somebody, every night, the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed can allow you to adjust each side for ideal firmness, comfort, and support. Here's the thing. Me and my wife share a lot of things in common. A lot of things in common. We love the same things. We share a lot. One thing we do not share is how firm we like our bed. So with the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can adjust her side to be less firm, my side to be more firm, both of us end up happy. It's the best thing. The Sleep IQ technology inside the bed tracks how you're sleeping so you can know every morning how well you slept. Think about that. And gain insights for your best sleep. Experience the smart, effortless comfort of the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Find your competitive edge with proven quality sleep and save up to $400 on select Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of the 600 Sleep Number stores nationwide. To find one near you, Go to sleepnumber.com/Jacoby. Again, support this podcast. This is the best bet on the market. If you're in the market for a bed, go to sleepnumber.com/Jacoby and help support this podcast and support yourself with the firm or not firm Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Jalen, big news in the NCAA. The NCAA's top decision makers voted unanimously Tuesday to start the process of allowing college athletes to profit from their names, images, and likenesses. Huge step for the NCAA, yet you are not exactly celebrating about this. Let's first explain exactly what this means. They're going to modify the rules to allow the athletes to profit from their names, images, and likenesses. The rule changes must maintain a distinction between college and pro sports. The goal is for new rules to be implemented by January of 2021, sooner than you think. Jalen, why are you not as high as everybody else about this decision?
Purposely vague.
Mm-hmm.
They intentionally use confusing language, but they continue to acknowledge, in theory, that they don't want collegiate athletes to play against pros.
Nope.
They consider pros those that profit off their name, their image, and their likeness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a contradiction.
Well, I think one of the things that's most important about this to point out is you still don't get paid to play.
Correct.
You still don't get paid by the institutions that you are a student of. And so it's like, oh, you can get outside money, but no. We're not going to pay you money. That's one of the things that I think is an important distinction to make.
And another line they have in there is they're trying to come up with a rule that falls in line with a manner that's consistent with the collegiate model.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't go with somebody being able to profit off their likeness. All this is getting in front of the narrative. So anybody out there on either side that's beating their chest or busting their arm to pat themselves on the back like some progress has been made. Yeah.
Progress is made.
A journey starts with a single step.
And there's a couple steps, made a couple steps, but still this also really only benefits that top tier college athlete, that household name college athlete that's going to really make some money off of this. Female student athletes, no, they're not exactly household names. Not a lot of people are going to try to, pay them for their image or the likeness.
I've literally been playing the game and talking about this topic for almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's why I called it indentured servitude, exactly what you said. They want the labor, but don't want to compensate you for it. The term student athlete is just something that was made up in order for them to maintain, in theory, the idea of people getting their scholarships but not being compensated. And I have to say another thing. For all of the people out there, oh, you should just be happy that you have a scholarship and just shut up. Let me tell you something. I'm earning my scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
They're not giving it to me just because I woke up this morning. They're giving me a scholarship because I'm good at basketball.
And you spend hours and hours and hours making yourself good at basketball, not just during the game.
It's not a favor. They're not looking out for me.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yo, you know, I got you.
Don't worry
about it. You know what I'm
going
to do for you? I'm going to give you a scholarship. I love your smile.
Yeah,
it don't work like that. And in a lot of cases, it's 4 1-year scholarships, which means I cannot perform as an athlete and you can take it away from me, mm-hmm, even if I have straight A's.
Well, we will continue to update you as this story keeps developing.
And they don't allow athletes to have jobs. Tell me this, Jacoby.
Okay.
Tell me what human beings walk the face of the earth that aren't allowed to profit off their name, their likeness, and their imagery.
Student athletes and those that are incarcerated.
That's it.
I mean, I can't think of, I think people that have been incarcerated literally in student athletes.
How about that?
Interesting. Moving on, Jamal Adams. He was rumored to be on the trading block yesterday as the deadline approached. He's obviously, one of the stars of the Jets defense. And he was not happy about that. He said, any reports of me being traded by the Jets are completely false. He said he spoke with Gase. He spoke with the GM. He said he wanted to stay in New York. And then behind his back, they shopped him to teams. And then he called it crazy business. Jalen, this is a little bit confusing. What do you make of all this?
The last two words are all that matter in that entire paragraph.
Crazy business? That's the part that matters. Crazy business.
Because anybody's subject to being traded.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how the game works. It's not just in the NFLs, the NBAs, Major League Baseball. This happens. And I understand that he had a conversation with the GM, and the GM said that he wasn't going to move him. But all of a sudden, somebody calls and say, we're going to give you 3 first-round picks.
That's the thing. That's one thing I've learned from you is everyone is tradable, and you always take the calls. It's the general manager's responsibility to take the calls. And I think that Jamal Adams, from what I read in his tweets, he felt like he was being shopped. But you never really know. There's a fine line between taking calls and making calls.
And here's what ends up happening. You know that you're a terrific player.
Mm-hmm.
You have as much value on that team, in my opinion, as Sam Darnold.
Yeah, anybody else. He is the Sam Darnold of the defense.
So if you're going to take care of 2 guys, to me, those are 2 of the guys you're going to take care of. So the other team knows that too.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're calling, those will be the 2 people they ask about.
Of course. And Le'Veon Bell would be another.
And Le'Veon Bell, obviously.
Well, one thing we always say, we're at the forefront of a lot of narratives in sports, and one thing we've always said is people don't disrespect the Bengals enough.
Like, correct.
People always talk about the Washington team and the Dolphins. Like, y'all need to disrespect the Bengals more. The Bengals might be the worst team in football, and the latest is that they're going to bench Andy Dalton in favor of Ryan Finley, and this information came out on his birthday.
That's foul.
On his birthday.
That's foul.
But here's the thing. I want to ask you this as someone who played.
Crazy business.
I want to ask you this as someone who played. Andy Dalton, if you are him, this is a lost season. Does this bother you?
If I'm Andy Dalton, I walk into the office. I'm clean as I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have my head up high, my chest back. I look at the GM. I look at the president. I look at the owner. Say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome for me taking your job from
thank
your
you.
Bench.
No.
This is how I feel too. That's why I asked the question.
No. You did me a favor. Because guess what I don't want to do? Be standing behind an 0-8 record.
Yeah.
As the starting quarterback.
Or a 2-14 record.
Y'all go right ahead.
You know how many times Andy Dalton's getting hit a game? 3 or 4 times, ends up on the ground. Spare me all of that. I will coach up Ryan Finley. I will coach him right up, and I will hold the clipboard so tight.
You guys go right ahead. And like I told you, AJ Green, remember?
Yeah. You know
they're not even giving updates on his injury anymore.
I'll be right there at the OTAs. I'll be right there next year at training camp. But if you want to play Ryan Finley for the rest of the season, go right ahead.
Congratulations.
Jalen, you say that you've gotten 100% of your postseason baseball predictions correct. We have not fact-checked this, but you've pretty much been solid. You definitely got Game 6. You've got everyone in the World Series right. And now we face the 2 greatest words in sports. Game 7 tonight, Scherzer versus Greinke. Keep in mind, Gerrit Cole might be available in relief for the Astros. Rostradamus, who wins tonight?
Did I ever tell you that I love Max Scherzer?
Yes, you did.
Did I also tell you that when you look at him, his 2 eyes are different colors?
You have told me that.
Did I also tell you that he's lights out and he and Strasburg are both undefeated when they pitch?
Can I tell
this
you
postseason?
That you're about to be wrong about your prediction?
And I'm taking the Nets.
I'm taking the home Astros, home crowd. Gerrit Cole comes in like the 5th inning and just they can't touch him. That's what's going to happen tonight. We will find out tomorrow who was right, who was wrong. And Jalen, now, this early in the season, star players don't normally make huge adjustments to their game in the National Basketball Association. But the most popular player, one of the best players in the league, LeBron James, has made a major change in his approach to the game. You pointed this out to me. What is that?
He's not wearing a headband.
Whoa, what happened, Jay?
Anthony Davis exposed something the previous game. You realize that with your new hair situation, if somebody touched that headband, it's going to mess up the front of your hair.
And the headband's pushing things around there that you don't really like.
So when the last time you see LeBron James, remember, when he was young in the league, he basically played with a quadruple headband.
Yeah, he did. It was like a skull cap.
So this is a level of self-awareness that I appreciate.
I love it from
now,
Mr. James.
You know firsthand, because you lived this,
mm-hmm,
that you're absolutely not supposed to touch the hair of a black woman.
Oh, of course.
LeBron James now falls into that category.
No, if he gets fouled in the head, he's gonna flop. He's gonna be on the ground.
So
they're gonna get one of those tents they have in NFL games behind the Lakers bench, so he can go in there when his hair gets messed up. And also, like, do you know why he wore the headband? Because that's gonna be an extra 5 minutes in the locker room getting everything right before he comes out the tunnel. That's the problem. He's like, oh man, it's gonna take a little extra.
So do you think it's a flagrant foul if somebody touched LeBron's hair?
Oh yeah, flagrant 1. You don't get ejected. But if you do it twice, you might get ejected. We'll go to the table. The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. Jalen Anthony Rose, who is in the studio with us?
My brother from another mother, Joseph Sakura.
Boom.
It's in the building.
Joseph Sakura here. If you don't know who that is, Joseph, what does everybody call you on the street?
Everybody calls me Tommy, and I say you could call me Tommy, you could call me Joseph, just call me.
Really, though.
So you just said something that really just struck a chord in my heart. You know what I mean? You're already one of my favorites because you said you were a Fairweather fan, and I call it a Die Easy fan.
You know those Die Hard fans? Yeah.
You know those Die Hard fans? I'm the opposite of that. Die Easy. If my team isn't hitting, I'm moving on.
I'm moving on.
Y'all start with God, we're moving on.
Oh, God, after my poor Bulls the other day, man, I was just like,
right here, too.
I know. But that was, you know, it was always good to see the Knicks doing well because I say if I'm in the building, if I'm in Madison Square Garden, I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Absolutely. That's a part of being a Daisy fan is I'd root for the home team. Mm-hmm. Just because I like to be around the energy.
Yeah.
You know?
This is hilarious to me that y'all have that.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to them more about how Daisy fans work. Again,
so here's what I root for. Drama, fights, overtime, home team, and then my favorite players, and then maybe my home teams. I'm from Massachusetts. But in that order, I just want drama. I want overtime. I want drama. I want fights.
Drama is the way, 100% way to be. I mean, just at the game yesterday at the Rangers game versus Tampa Bay. Man, I was happy that the Rangers pulled it out, but just all the fights and all the drama. I was like, now see, this is a hockey game right here. Yes. I came for a reason.
Our audience aren't a huge hockey audience, but going live to a hockey game is one of the best live experiences.
It's a great live sports event to be at.
So absolutely. Do you guys think I'm giving myself gray hairs by rooting for a team like the Lions for 46 years that has only won one playoff game in 60 years?
Hey, listen, I moved from Chicago 20 years ago and I left the Cubs there with me. So I think that gave me, that people are like, well, you look good for 43. I'm like, let me tell you why.
They won't let you move back. Exactly. Like, Joseph's moving back. No, he's not. No, he's not.
They're doing good. We're fine without him. I worked at Wrigley Field. I did not do good when I was there.
Okay, talk to me about working at Wrigley Field. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I worked the left field commissary for a few years, which was great. It taught me... It taught me many things. It taught me about batting practice and who shows up and who doesn't. It also showed me. It also taught me a little bit more about hustling than I thought that I would learn in an arena like that.
So we talk a lot about like saying please and thank you, and we always joke about how when I go places, I do a lot of tipping.
A lot of tipping is an understatement.
So at working as commissary, what did you learn about the people that you interact with on a daily basis?
You know, just in case the money was going wherever the money was going, just make sure you pay the guy at the front door. That's what I learned.
Okay. I remember going to Wrigley Field, but I never remember leaving Wrigley Field.
My man. Yeah.
You sat in the bleachers.
Yeah. I was in the bleachers. And I was just like, oh, man, it's a good game. Until the sixth inning. And then what happened?
Like, what was the score again?
You and Harry Carey both. How long? How two?
We had this document when I worked at Grantland it was Harry Carey's basically like his taxes. So he had a calendar and he filled out where and when he spent his money. And he didn't take a lot of days off. Let's just say that. So he would be this bar, these people, this much was for his taxes. Mm-hmm. But somehow we got this document and the Patriots aren't the only ones in sports with no days off
at all.
He was out.
Well, look at his restaurant. It's like, it says it's like Italian bistro, like sports bar. You're just like, when you walk, you're like, Harry, what are you thinking of?
Right.
What are you thinking?
What's the thing here?
It's a good place. But I'm just saying, it's a little like.
How do you feel about your young Bulls?
Other than getting kind of trounced on, I think that they are a young team. And I think that this is not their year, but I think that, you know, just look, if the Clippers can get to where the Clippers are going for being a young team, I think that you can kind of, there are some mirrorings that happen right there. But then again, speaking of Fairweather fan, I think that, I mean, I was just like, Lakers are going to take it, this and that. And I still think the Lakers are the team to beat. But, you know, you saw that first game, the season opener with the Clippers versus the Lakers. And at the end, I was just like, oh, see those Clippers? It's Doc Rivers.
Yeah, that's it.
It was Doc Rivers.
That's the Daisy.
I knew Kawhi was like that. They don't even need Paul George.
Trade Paul George.
Yeah, it's all right.
Trade Paul George with some picks. We don't even need that guy. So you're one of the only people that has sat in this chair across from Jalen Rose and had to deal with this guy during a television show. You're one of the only people in the world besides me that's done it. What was the worst thing about working with Jalen?
See, that's the whole thing is you only set me up to win saying that because there were no bad things.
So I knew you were going to go positive. That's why I asked that question.
No, Jalen is not only knowledgeable, but he was gracious. And when you said, usually you're like, you know, you took over from me in the show. I was like, no, I just sat in your seat. Nobody could take over
and,
for you.
And this what is we were doing was
winning
practicing.
It was practicing.
So, you know, when you're out with the kids or you playing basketball,
I'd love it.
He'd hold it down.
So this is one thing I have to say that came out of that show while I wasn't here when Jalen was hosting is a soundbite that we use. It became part of the lexicon of the program. And it is one of the greatest moments of hosting in the history of media. And it is this soundbite, Reggie.
Speaking of the Hobbits, let's talk about LeBron James for a second.
Now that's a transition.
That's a transition.
Speaking of the Hobbits, let's talk about LeBron.
That is 20 years in the media game. That is veteran savvy right there. Veteran savvy.
Speaking of the Hobbits, let's talk about LeBron James.
Don't think you understand how much Jalen loves the show Power. Like, I've never met anybody as obsessed with a television show.
He knows more about Jalen it than I do. I know that's for sure.
And so much so that we have an entire segment set aside to talk about Power. But
yes.
We have to start with sports.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I know that you, like me, are a Die Easy fan.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about the NBA as a whole. Like, it's pretty early in the season, but what have you enjoyed about this season so far?
That it's kind of the season of dynamic duos. I mean, mm-hmm. even if it's in, like, the pontification of the dynamic duo, like we were just saying that Paul George is out, but it would be the Kawhi, Paul George, AD, LeBron.
So you kind of Westbrook,
yep. exactly. A heart
Tommy
of man.
Ghost,
Tommy yeah, Ghost, yeah. That's the Tommy yeah, Ghost, yeah. right?
No is doubt.
That
no
well,
doubt.
Really the Tommy and the Ghost thing was put into play in the dynamic duos with that opening Clippers Lakers game because it was like it's for domination of the city. Who's going to dominate this city? Yeah. Who's got the bragging yeah. rights? So it was kind of and the underdog won.
Yes,
love it or hate it, the underdog's on top.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shout a little shout out to the boss.
No doubt, Fitty.
It's an exciting time, and I think that it feels like the changing of the guard, especially with Golden State kind of mm-hmm. like falling back mm-hmm. and being pushed to guard. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm glad the Knicks are starting out strong. In fact, I thought that D Rose on Detroit was going to take it out against the Sixers the other day,
but
it was good. It's good.
Game.
Yeah.
That was a good pickup.
So we'll see how things progress, but it's up to the hype. It's time to believe the hype.
So you're a huge star, right? So have you sat courtside yet? Have you gotten that star courtside ticket yet?
Speaking of the Hobbits, Jerry Ferreira sits courtside. I did not sit courtside. Jerry Ferreira is the number one Knicks fan in New York other than Spike. And I will say that I do not have Jerry Ferreira seats. I have never sat courtside. No, I sat courtside with Luis Antonio Ramos.
Oh, there you go.
The first time I ever went to a Knicks game.
We're going to change that. I got you at Nets games, Pistons games, Michigan Wolverine games. You don't ever want to go
this
out.
This is how much 7 o'clock. Power. Because he never invited me to sit courtside once. We've been doing the show for 8 years. But then you show up, it's like, oh, Tommy's here? Like, oh, it's courtside.
But you left off the part that you go to bed at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I did, but it's 7:30. But I also bring up the courtside thing because Jalen Rose was at that game, as he mentioned, and he stood up, walked up to the baseline, and started yelling at the players.
See, but that's different when Jalen Rose does it because when 6'8 stands up, it's different. It's different than when 5'10 stands up. People are like, they still think he's sitting down, but it's me standing up.
Yelling at him, I was cheering for him.
There you go.
It's different.
Yeah.
I'm a diehard fan.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tommy is very much a New Yorker. That's just a character you play. You are from the Chicago area.
No, I'm from Chicago, the city.
Yep. And you're a Bears fan.
Yep.
And the Bears are kind of at a crossroads right now in the season, kind of like the Lions in that division.
Yeah, the poor Lions, the poor Bears. Man, I don't get to watch enough Bears games. I tell you, I used to love going to the Bears games when I worked Andy Frayne as well at those games, man. But there's nothing like being at Soldier Field, and I hope I get to get back before the season's over.
Mitchell Trubisky got a ball for them, but living in Chicago, the one thing I always appreciated is that they still play outside.
When it's freezing cold.
I was upset when the Lions started to play in the dome. I think it take away the home field advantage.
It does, because you tend to build up that resilience to the weather.
Correct.
Yes. Yes. All right. So you're a Chicago kid. You're a young actor.
Mm-hmm.
You had an opportunity to work on, I believe it was a commercial with Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan, yeah. Me and MJ, we go way back.
He's texting, he's on the text.
Yeah. He's just like, yo, man, Kobe will never be me. Just make sure you mention that.
I also actually was assigned to Michael Jordan when he used to go to this club called Le Passage in Chicago.
Ooh.
And so I was just kind of the guy that was around Michael Jordan to make sure nobody necessarily bothered Michael Jordan. And it was always interesting, man. I'll just say that I appreciate Michael Jordan as the greatest basketball player of all time. But like, you know, when you're assigned and when you're kind of working and making sure people don't bother him, a lot of people wanted to bother him. And I got to say that Michael would often remind me that I did not do a good job at my job.
I have the big follow-up question right here. Did he tip well?
He didn't tip me, so I can't speak to that, but that wasn't my job. My job was just to make sure that I'm sure he tipped the ladies very well.
So you been hanging out with me too much. You think he's supposed to tip everybody? He should have took care of you.
No, he shouldn't. In fact, because he told me I didn't do a good job, I think he was just reinstating and reinforcing that you don't do a good job, you don't get a tip.
How would he tell you?
He would just be like, "Hey man, keep these people away from me a little bit. I mean, just a little bit. Just so I can breathe." But yeah, he would be back there. But he was a great guy and a gracious human being. And anytime anybody argues the greatest of all time, I gotta say, you know, even talking to somebody who talked some trash to him on the court.
Yes.
And then Michael had to do what he had to do afterwards.
Oh no, he handled his business. He shut me up and shut the rest of the league up real quick. And talking about hoops, so I follow you on IG, Joseph mm-hmm. Sokora 4. Saw you playing hoops.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a clip.
We got a little clip.
Oh, boy.
See the form? And there's my question, did you call bank on this shot?
I did. Okay. And you know what? Hold on. No, I did. You know what? And I'll tell you this, because the truth of it is, it wasn't my first shot. The first shot was a miss, but I was with, you know, my guy designer over there.
Yeah.
Man, so
underrated artist.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Underrated artist.
So my guy Panda over there, he knows that I was saying that I kept calling glass. And then the second and in fact, if you listen really close on that clip, you can hear me barely say glass and then boom.
So playing as much basketball as I have, people obviously can judge how they feel like I play. I feel like Jacoby plays like the Joker in Denver. Who does your game resemble?
Bill Cartwright.
Yes.
I mean, you saw the shot right there. I'm like a tiny little white Bill Cartwright.
Bill Cartwright?
Yes, Bill Cartwright.
Yes. All right, so we were all kind of the same age, and we all kind of feel that we experienced the golden era of hip-hop. Whatever you think that is, that's a subjective opinion. And we asked you your subjective opinion.
I mean, most people.
Yeah, I mean, we know, yes. Really. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
but, all facts.
Yeah, we got a young audience, mm-hmm. so we have to,
you know.
So we asked you what you thought your favorite top five groups in hip hop were.
Now, this is straight off the dome.
This is just yours off the dome.
Boom.
So we're asking in no order. In no order.
No order.
Yeah, you did this very quickly. You know, we appreciate you doing this ahead of time.
This was me and Jalen texting each other, and mm-hmm. that text came back. I said, "How's that for a quick?" Was it like 5 seconds later? I'm like,
"Brr." Yeah, I was with them. I asked them to do it. I was like, "Yo, did you make these up yourself?" We should probably get Joseph involved if he's going to do this.
He did it freestyle.
So who do you have is your first of your five?
Tribe Called Quest.
Mm.
And you know, I mean, God, that Check the Rhyme was just such an anthem for me. But so many songs. I mean, Bonita Applebaum. There's so many great songs that they came up with, and the longevity of that career. And then also just Fife and Tip. Great band. Mm-hmm. And then also I had to put in there is Ultramagnetic MCs.
Mm, oh, yes.
Cool Keith.
See, not everyone's got that.
Yo, Cool Keith literally at like, it's like,
bars!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you're like, oh man, this guy's rhyming numbers.
And
it works. Somehow it works. Critical Beatdown? Come on. Like, that's another anthem there. And then I said The Roots.
Mm.
I mean, just in terms of influence and I think changing the hip hop scene, I think The Roots made the way for kind of expansion of hip hop in general. So like, they were a groundbreaking click for me.
Great.
And then I had to go with De La Soul.
Mm.
3 Feet High and Rising. I mean, I think that was one of the golden bricks that laid the path to that era of hip hop.
Well put.
And I just, there were so many great tunes in there, and they're still going strong right now. They're still putting out music, and it's still great. And then I had to just think again, which was straight off the dome, just like, what were some of these most influential groups? And then I said N.W.A. because
mm-hmm.
they also changed the scene.
Yes.
And I think that they kind of paved the way for other groups, bizarrely enough, that they're a West Coast group, but like, I mean, even like mirroring the kind of the gangsta era, or the kind of representing the realness of the streets, like in Mobb Deep or Wu-Tang.
Yes.
That it's kind of like that because they preceded them, but it's not so dissimilar in East and West Coast. And there was so much less of a differentiation at that point between East and West Coast. There was none of the mock rivalry or the real rivalry, yes, or whatever it was at that time.
Like, N.W.A. represents like a pivot point in hip-hop. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, sort of lyrical content was very different. It was like, I'm the best. And all of a sudden it was sort of like, oh no, I'm going to be a diary for what's happening around me. Kind of.
Yeah.
Know, obviously there's some of that before then, but N.W.A. did that. And one thing that we always say in this show is, you know, we work in sports, so lists are always involved. And one thing we've never done ever in the 8 years of this program is accurately done a list the first time we do it. You know what I mean? We always leave somebody off. We'll be talking about like the top five in the NBA history, leave off like Kareem or something.
Yeah.
So we do this all the time. So who are some of the other groups? After you texted Jaylen in 5 seconds, you were like, ooh.
Yeah, some of the other honorable mentions. I got to say a big shout out to G-Unit.
No,
I mean, then I said Cypress Hill.
Yep.
That's a really
just
good one.
Go back to House of Pain.
The Lox.
Thank you.
Sure. Jungle Brothers.
Wu-Tang needs to mention.
Wu-Tang, 100%.
A lot of people don't consider this a group, but their group is Outkast.
Outkast, you know,
forget like, it.
Yes, yes.
Andre 3000 is one of the top five MCs of all time, too.
In your opinion.
Well, if we get there too, I mean, lyrically, the guy was just nice. So you know,
yes, Public Enemy.
Public Enemy. Oh my God.
It's so hard to make a list. You know what I mean? It's so hard to make a list off the top. We get it wrong every time.
But you can also go into like some of the stuff like the remember the Fushnik?
Yes, of course.
We got nothing to prove.
Right. That's how Shaq started his rap career. He's like, give me the Fushnik.
That's right.
Give me the Fushnik.
Exactly.
I got a mic drop one for both of y'all.
Uh-oh.
The Beastie Boys.
Come on.
They are right behind me in the studio. Oh man. Oh no. I'm so upset with my. I'm gonna go punch myself in the face.
But that's your point though. You can do a list and leave off Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, leave off Magic Johnson when you're rushing because it's just so much greatness. But that's what makes it the golden era. And how about this? That to me is what's missing in hip hop today. I see cliques, I see crews,
labels.
I see labels, but not groups.
Well, that's one of the problem things that Jacoby was just saying too is that everybody's saying, I'm the best, and that's what's reflecting. So you can't be a group when you're just like, I'm the best. It's not it's not unlike basketball. I mean, AD wouldn't be AD's last, game where he finally, nobody had done the 40-20 since Shaq, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's because Kobe participated in that. That's because LeBron allowed that to happen in some capacity. Correct. Otherwise, you gotta do that. So you gotta be in more, it's more of a team mentality when you're in a group.
EPMD, Eric B and Rakim.
Come on.
Smith and Wesson,
I don't know about Eric B and Rakim if you can consider that.
If only one guy had a mic. No. So look at Joseph, like transitioning from hip hop to sports, making analogies. Man, you're such a natural at this.
You're such a natural at this.
Joseph Sikora is in here. The gentleman who plays the character Tommy on a show, Jaylen. I forgot the name of the show.
They say this is a big rich town.
What's the name of the show?
So, what did you think when they changed the intro to Trey Songz and Train the Bass?
Controversial.
I was like, it'll grow on people. It'll grow on people, and it did not grow on people.
But that's the genius of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson.
Correct.
Like he kind of, it's like he's playing chess and everybody else is playing chess. He's like, I'm going to change the intro. Everyone's going to get upset about it and then I'm going to change it back and everyone's going to celebrate it.
I would not put that past 50 for 1 second. He is one of the smartest individuals who calls things. He explained to me legitimately the first time in the first season before one episode aired how the whole thing was going to play out.
Really?
And it played out almost exactly that.
Wow.
Really? Let's go back to the very like beginning when you were working on the show. Like,
first off, he was the first boss I ever had in my life that gave me a hug when he met me.
Really?
Yep.
Born guy.
Awesome.
He was very nice when he came on the show too. I was like, that guy's really nice. He's a sweetheart. So when you first got on the show, like when you're on a project like that, you've read the scripts and you've seen the cast, but you don't know it's going to be a hit. Like when you first started filming it, at what point were you like, this might stick?
I never think about that one way or another because it's not my job. My job is to show up, know my lines, and make interesting choices. And that's all I've ever done. So that takes the pressure off of you in some ways. But I love working. I love playing Tommy. I love playing characters. I love what I do. So I think that translated a lot.
What did it feel like going into this season, realizing that it may be the final one?
It is the final one. It didn't feel one way or another. It felt like, let me show up and do the best job I possibly can today.
Can I tell you how I felt?
That's why he said maybe in the question. He's still processing it.
I was disappointed in that. Mm-hmm. Upset and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost cried. Seriously, because I see how the characters are now being spent off.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like to, I compared it to when Blackish first started, then it became Grownish and Mixed-ish.
Yep.
I see like the younger characters are starting to get more involved type of thing.
Yeah.
But ain't no replacing Tommy and Ghost.
Mm. I think that's true. I think that's a fact.
You guys are the heartbeat of the show. So it's going to be Tyreek. He's a great character.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to elevate into the Ghost role, I don't see it.
But do you miss Kanan?
To elevate into your role.
And Dunham, who plays Cash, I mean, he's a great young actor who's untapped. You haven't even seen what this kid can do yet. And Michael Rainey Jr., who plays Tariq, he is fantastic as well. But I will say that for any of these characters to be on a spinoff, you still have one more episode to survive. And not everybody's
Hold on a second. 20-second timeout. 20-second timeout. You don't have to move forward in time in the spinoff. Like, I kind of want, like, I'm going to pitch a Tommy Egan origin story spinoff. Like, you don't have to go forward. I haven't seen the last of some of my favorite power characters that may or may not be above the ground right now. Is there some Tommy Egan spinoff action going to happen?
The only way the Tommy Egan spinoff thing could have ever happened is if it went forward. And again, you know, not everybody is going to make it out the other end. So it's going to be a very exciting weekend, Sunday at 8 p.m. on Starz.
I was happy that you weren't the person that killed Lakeisha.
Me too, finally.
Spoiler alert, everybody, if you watch Power, we're going to be talking about it.
What did the audience and the public say to you about that?
They were dogging me for all of these other murders when they were like, you killed Joe Proctor. And spoiler alert. And I'm just like, Joe Proctor was gonna tell the feds about Tommy. That's what Tommy does. Yeah. Like, he's the street referee. It's like, nope, that's a foul. And you know, you're out of the game. So
in particular about Tommy's storyline, now that Cash's father is in the picture, played by Jesse Williams, like, how is Tommy gonna deal with that?
With Cash or with just not having Lakeisha, I think the bigger picture for Tommy right now is dealing with what Tommy does, and that's dealing with the immediate present. And that is dealing with what happened to Lakeisha, because that was almost the final straw. I mean, you're looking at a broken man who this season has been taking L after L after L after L after L, and he's still somehow trudging forward. So, yeah. I mean, it's a huge burden to take, but, most will be revealed in this next episode coming.
But it was powerful when Cash's father showed up, and then you were leaving, and he asked you, "Is Cash going to see you again?"
And Tommy's also honest, like he always is.
I don't know.
I'm not going to lie to you and just say yes, which other characters on the show
correct.
Would lie.
Oh, yeah, correct.
Definitely. That's what I would do, too. Yeah, I just lie. It's so much easier to tell the truth. What are you talking about?
I know. I got to whisper in Tommy's ear next time. Just lie. It's going to make it so much easier for you.
Absolutely. So this is you wanted to ask this one about Jason.
So Jason is on an elevator with Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a text from you that lets him know that Ghost was about to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost does it, of course. Follows through. Ghost picks up the phone. See your text.
Oops.
That's going to be an issue between you and Ghost.
That's going to be an issue between me and Ghost. You know what's funny? Because everybody's like, see, everybody's a snitch. Tommy's snitch. And I'm like, all right, for all of you people saying that who have no street vocabulary, a snitch is when you go to the police. Snaky behavior between gangsters is something totally different, and that's what happened on the show.
He's protecting his own interests, which is number one.
He's playing the game the same way that Ghost plays the game.
Of course.
He's playing it the same way.
Of course. So what do we think about Ghost's political aspirations?
I mean, I'd vote for him over a lot of people in office right now, I'll say that much.
Okay.
Preach.
So, you know, it seems like you're even here in this room sort of like defending your character Tommy a little bit. Like, and I imagine
I have his best interests at heart. I also appreciate Tommy's loyalty, his vigor, steadfastness, a lot of aspects that I would appreciate in another person. So I do kind of defend them, and I do enjoy playing a character that I like and respect. But I mean, Tommy's got his own faults. He doesn't have the finesse Ghost has, and he's still working on that. But he's more aware of his faults than a lot of other characters.
He's definitely aware. And so I'm interested to see how this is all going to play out, because there's a lot of chips in the middle of the table.
Yeah, I mean, Courtney A. Kemp, our show's creator. She's amazing. And Gary Lennon, the co-showrunner, and 50. This is kind of like a trifecta of awesome, incredible, fantastical storytelling that is going to, don't forget, we also have 5 episodes that come after this finale episode. So what is that going to be?
Yes. So I have one question for you. This is something I generally want to know.
Yeah.
When you are walking down the street, what percentage of people call you Joseph?
Two.
Yeah. You like those people, though. Like, they get a pound and a hug, right?
They do. Yeah. Those are the people that they're like, yo, could you FaceTime with my mother? I'm just like, yes, all right. Yeah. Call mom up real quick.
That's like our podcast audience.
Tommy once.
Because everybody's like, Tommy, I'm just like, hey. Yeah.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Right. Stay tuned.
What is it like as an entertainer and as an athlete, for example, you do something that is so memorable to people, they always refer to it. So when people see me, they refer to me as Fab Five. When they see you, they refer to you as Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work in your mind?
It's an honor to be a part of something that's so iconic, so I'll take it. Like I said before, call me Tommy, call me Joseph, just call me.
When you say it's honored to be part of something iconic, you're talking about this appearance in this program, right?
That, exactly. Jalen and Jacoby, most iconic sports show on
the air.
Thank
you so much for coming through, Joseph. Really appreciate it.
Shout out.
We lost somebody special. John Witherspoon. John Witherspoon, no longer with us.
Rest in peace, Pops.
Rest in peace, John Witherspoon.
Shout out.
You know, it's like he never really broke through the way that Chris Rock, Chris Tucker, Eddie Murphy did. You know what I mean? But his consistency and his body of work over decades and decades and decades. And he was kind of like your favorite rapper when
well
it comes
said.
To comedy.
And also, there was a period of time in athletics and in entertainment that sometimes in order to get that breakthrough that you're talking about, Jacoby, you had to sacrifice a lot of who you are. And mm-hmm. he was not willing to do that. Comics like him.
Nope.
And I always appreciated that about him. And the Friday franchise is classic.
Friday's such a classic. And he's like known for Friday, but if you look at what he's done.
Correct.
He's done 100 films.
100.
You know what I mean? Like,
tell him that again.
He's done 100 films.
Yep.
And you know, we won't name him because you know how good we are at lists around here. But R.I.P. John Witherspoon, you know, again, like, if you're younger and you're not familiar with his work, make sure you Google him, watch some of his work, and appreciate him.
Comics like he and Paul Mooney come to mind as those that we started to appreciate their longevity because they never sacrificed their integrity in order to go mainstream.
Yep. I love Paul Mooney. All right. Well, Jalen, I've got a too hot for TV.
Too hot for TV.
Jalen, for some reason the last couple weeks we've had two funeral stories. Absolutely nothing to do with John Witherspoon. Last week we had the person that pre-recorded themselves screaming and then someone played it from the coffin.
That person's selfish.
I like that person. This time we have this.
Now just think about what you just said for those that weren't following. Somebody died. Prior to their death, they recorded themselves screaming.
And begging to be let out of the coffin.
And begging to be let out of a coffin.
Had a conspirator there that played the audio from the coffin.
That's so this person dies.
You can be mean if you're funny.
People
That's funny.
Are at the funeral.
Yeah,
the casket is closed.
Lighten up the mood. We've all been to funerals.
And then there's a scream out of the casket.
Yeah, we've all been to funerals. Lighten up the mood. Lighten up the mood.
That person wasn't dead. I want to kill him.
Lighten up the mood. I think it's hilarious. There's a funeral in Germany. Someone passed away. And it's sad, you know? And they got a cake, you know, I guess we call it a repast here for whatever they do after the funeral in Germany. And there they are, the cake. Everyone's eating the food. Sad. Telling stories about the person that passed away. And they're eating some of the cake. Hour and a half later, everyone feels a little funny. Turns out the bakery they got it from, the proprietor of the bakery has a teenage daughter. The teenage daughter baked the cake with cannabis on the inside for a different occasion. But the cake that was brought to the funeral was medicinal.
Yep,
so here we have these people, they're sad, they're reminiscing over the person that they lost. Next thing you know, they're on the edibles. I think one of the worst things you can do to a person is give them an intoxicant without them knowing.
It's
like one of the worst things you can do to somebody.
This was not intentional. I have a word for that. That's the equivalent of rape to me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
is that fair?
Ask Bill Cosby. Sometimes they go hand in hand.
I like what you did
yes.
there.
But I mean like more of not like a, with those nefarious intentions. but someone being like, oh, you didn't know there's blah, blah, blah in that. Or I dosed your drink or this and that.
That's
like,
foul.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just foul. It's just foul.
That's foul.
Because I can't even imagine being in my own head and starting to like trip on acid and not even knowing that I'm tripping on acid. I'll just go straight to the hospital.
And I must say this. If you know people that do that, or if you that person that does that, you're whack.
Yes. Oh, without. Oh, yeah.
Yo!
That's not funny. Why are you yelling?
Something that's really important I got to tell you. Rez just reminded me when he played that voice in my ear.
What's that?
There's a new Ghostface Killah out.
What, the album? Oh, that's been out. Oh, that's been out. I chewed that up and ate it. Yeah. The Ghostface is hot. The Ghostface is hot. And one thing I can't lie about. Here's one thing I can't lie about. I was listening to the new Ghostface. And the first thing it is it's an intro of someone introducing the album. And Michael Rapaport does the intro. And I was happy, but I was also jealous. I'm like, yo, I'm like four emails away from doing the intro to the Ghostface
album. You did tell me that now that I think about it.
Big shout out to Mike Rapp. He's always been cool to me.
Shout out.
I'm going to make sure that people know Ghostface album is called Ghostface Killahs. K-I-L-L-A-H.
He's got like a full movie. He like did like this whole like movie thing with the videos. It's dope.
You know what I really love about Ghostface?
Everything?
Bars!
Jalen comes into the office today and he's going over to like older white people being like, Allegory! Royce the 5'9 album! Bars! They're like, what are you talking about? You know, he's going up to like the maintenance guy, the janitor, the camera guy. Yo, bars! Allegory! Like, are you getting paid?
Not at all.
Are you getting paid by Royce?
I love music so much when it's smart, it's original, it's conscious, and it's bars! I'm telling y'all right now, what am I bumping right now? I'm bumping the new Wale. I'm still bumping that Gangsta Gibbs.
I'm bumping Young M.A. That's what I'm bumping. I'm on a Young M.A. kick right now.
I love Young M.A.
I'm on a Young M.A. kick
right now.
Bumping
the new Ghostface.
Yeah, new Ghost I did for a couple weeks.
You ready for this? You ready? You know what's going to happen on Friday?
I do.
New Gangstar. Primo, my brother. Shout out. For those that don't know,
shout out.
Did the soundtrack to the Fab Five documentary.
Yo, let me tell you how dope Primo is. You want to know how dope Primo is?
I need to get him on
Primo
the show.
Primo is so dope. That he made me love the Group Home album. Not the best MCs out there, but Primo's beats are so dope that I loved every song on the Group Home album. That's how dope Primo is.
I'll never forget this. Yeah, don't be disrespectful to Group Home like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You want me to ask some follow-up questions about Group Home?
No.
Okay.
But I want to tell you. I'm trying to pull up this name of this album. And Jimmy King of confirmed this story.
Shout out to Jimmy King. He's my Fab Five teammate. No. My Family Feud teammate. You're a Fab Five teammate. He's my Family Feud teammate. Love seeing him every year at the golf event.
I want to make sure I get this right because this is really important. I know we don't like follow-up questions, but I have to get this right.
Okay.
So, Jimmy King comes to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Listen to a lot of Ghetto Boys, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I put in that Gangstar, Daily Operation.
Oh, yeah.
He stole my CD. What? And I was not mad that he stole it. You know why? He played that CD 24/7, 365. It was like it was still mine.
Yo, I have a similar story. Very similar story. So, you know, we had mixed cassettes when I was coming up and like I was playing high school basketball. We had a mixed cassette, and I think I was a senior on the basketball team. We had two young bucks, Nathan and Tyson, on the basketball team. And I had Beef, Eye for an Eye. I had that song before the album came out on a mixtape. And it was on a cassette. Then it was just like, you know that song. It's Nas, Ray, and Mobb Deep. And it was like, at the time, like Nas, Ray, and Mobb Deep were Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
At the time.
Yes.
At the time.
No doubt.
They were Mount Rushmore.
No doubt.
And they were all on the same track, and it was just such a good song. And I remember playing it for them, and then we went to practice. After practice, my tape was missing. I knew who did it. Next day at school, I was like, yo, we can go about this two ways. I know y'all already put the double cassette in. I know y'all already pressed play and record. I know you have your own copies. We can go about this two ways. You can give me the tape, or we can go about this another way. And then, like, very sheepishly, Nathaniel gave me the tape.
See, you flat out steal from me and don't tell me. That changes the way I look at you.
As my teammate, they're kind of prankster, little like younger kids.
Okay, got
they're kind of like giggly prankster types.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
So
they weren't trying to like Debo me.
That's a part of the friendship.
Yeah, okay. It was like they're kind of prankster, like giggly, kind of younger, skinny kids.
Gotcha.
It wasn't like yo, you want your tape back? You gotta come get it. It wasn't like that. It was like yeah, we're joking. Here you go, take your tape back. But they definitely took that. Shout out to Jimmy King.
Shout out.
And you know what I miss in rap music? I'm not talking about clicks. I'm not talking about labels. I'm not talking about crews. I miss groups.
Yep.
Kyrie Irving, there's a report about him from Jackie Mack that some of the Nets people in the franchise were a little uneasy about his mood swings. Okay? And there were some incidents in China where he kind of just like went to his shell. Didn't really talk to people on the staff and teammates. He didn't want to kind of wear some of their biometric stuff that they wanted from him. And there was a photo shoot and he didn't want to take his hat off. They said they can Photoshop it out later. Interesting. So it didn't paint Kyrie in the greatest light. I have to say there were also some nice anecdotes about Kyrie being a leader and a teammate and teaching his young Nets teammates sort of the ways of the world on and off the court. But when a report like that comes out, what ends up happening is people like our friend, family, Malika, go to the practice and they ask people about it. Well, they did so. And Kenny Anderson was, you know, he just dodged the questions, said we love Kyrie, we have no complaints. And then DeAndre Jordan and Kevin Durant just really just came win in on him. They were just like, yo, he's the best. DeAndre Jordan's like, what do you want me to say? He's a terrible person. He doesn't show up. He doesn't work hard. And then, you know, Kevin Durant's like, I know what I'm going to get at 7:30 every night. Like, he's the best. What do you think, like, take us behind the curtain about being in the locker room when reports like this come out and then questions, the follow-up questions from the reporter happen, and you're dealing with sort of like the news cycle of gossip.
Well, a couple of things. When you're part of a team, you're literally in the foxhole.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, it could be true or false. You're still going to defend your teammate.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
They could have done something really heinous.
I could have a black eye and be like, no, didn't punch me. didn't happen. Fell down the stairs.
You're going to defend your teammate.
Yep.
And that could be the 15th man. We need a best player? You're mad that they did it. Follow me here. Because now you messing with him mean you messing with my money.
Mm.
And our chance to win. So y'all leave him alone. That's how you approach it. And that's why DeAndre behaved like he did. Not only is that his friend, when last time you seen DeAndre Jordan do a post move and score?
Been a long time.
Okay, how's he going to get buckets?
Kyrie Irving throwing him lobs. His man going to help on Kyrie because Kyrie's man is 15 feet away. And Kyrie's going to throw him a lob. I thought DeAndre would get more playing time, to be honest with you. I thought he would get more playing
time. They got DeAndre to play against big bodies like Embiid. Other than that, Allen gonna be out there getting those minutes.
Yeah. I thought y'all never get some more minutes, but.
So that's how you handle it. Now, if it's false, then you all in. Chips in the middle of the table. You just going all in on the media. Oh, the media. If it's true, even like Vontaze Burfict. You just say all of the great things about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, there's great things about everybody. Since he been here, all I know is guy shows up early. He works really hard. He pays attention in meetings.
Jeffrey Dahmer, great cook. Great cook. He knows how to work the seasonings. You know, that's what you do. One thing that popped up, there was like, it was about the relationship between players and fans, especially in the NBA. Like before the season, the NBA sort of made a statement. It was like players and fans. And I was going to myself, I'm like, is this really a thing? Like, is this new news? Is this ever going to change? Is this really a problem that we need to discuss in the world? And apparently it is because there was a fan in Houston punched Pelicans assistant coach Joe Boylan. Punched the assistant coach. Now, I have no idea what preceded that or what led to it. I'm sure some adult beverages were involved.
Yep.
But I just found that shocking.
Were they at a game?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't think they were, like, out at a bar.
That fan should be arrested for assault.
Oh, they've already been banned. Yeah. They've been banned. There's an investigation.
No, we said two different languages. There's that fan should be arrested for assault. Yeah. You punched me at my job.
Yeah.
That's assault.
See how the Masayu Jury stuff kind of got swept under the rug?
Well, because it wasn't his fault.
I don't know what happened. I wasn't there.
Yeah. I'm trying to go to the court. Get your hands off of me. This ain't like this game one and I just showed up. It's your job to know who I am, actually.
I'm here every game. I haven't missed a game. You might be the part of the people they brought in because we're about to win a championship, but I haven't missed a game.
Correct.
I'm here every day. So if you're going to come to the arena,
this is a series, okay?
It is Wednesday, and every Wednesday we celebrate women around the world, the more intelligent, kinder, harder, more responsible, harder working, and generally superior,
more disciplined
gender of our species.
Better looking, better smelling.
And we do so.
Better hands, better feet.
By taking only female voicemails. I've seen some messed up feet on some girls before. Like this one. Reg, what do you got?
Hey, Jalen Jacoby. Shout out, Reg the Ledge. This is Julie calling from Westchester, New York. First, got to thank Jalen for putting me on the power. Been listening to the pod for a long time and finally gave the show a try. Caught up in the last few months, so I've been watching a lot of Power. It's getting crazy. I have two questions. My soft move or boss move question is for Jacoby, our rec league expert. I play in a rec league. My team's not very good, but we have fun. And recently the other team started going easy on us, and I asked one of the teammates why. He said he felt bad. I'd rather just lose, knowing at least the other team's trying. So soft move or boss move, letting the bad team feel better about themselves by not really trying. Then I have a cultural or regional question. You know, in New York here, you see people walking, eating pizza, walking, eating their breakfast sandwich. But when I'm in New York, I don't really see people walking and eating. So walking and eating, cultural or regional. Thanks, guys.
Huh. Okay. First
great
of all,
caller.
First of all, shout to Power.
No doubt.
You're changing people's lives, Jalen. Your love of Power is not only changing the lives of you and your wife, Molly.
Yes.
Because I'm sure Molly's like, he doesn't have a side chick, but he does spend a lot of time with Power.
I watched it last night.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Do you watch any other shows? Like, repeatedly. You still doing This Is Us?
No. I watch This Is Us.
Oh, God. It makes me so happy that you watch This Is Us.
I downloaded Hulu to watch the Wu-Tang.
Yeah, I want to watch the movie.
I want to watch the FX, the John Singleton show.
I'm not asking you what you want to watch.
I'm trying to think of what's on my DVD. I mean, my DVR.
Your DVD is so old.
What am I DVRing right now?
Yo, first of all, we'll get to your questions, Julie. But let me tell you something that my wife has really gotten into lately. My wife is kind of a nerd. Like, she's the coolest chick on the planet, but, like, she's low-key a nerd. And she's gotten
really... she's smart.
She's gotten really into living on other planets. Like, she got down this YouTube wormhole of living with other planets. She's watching this show called, I think it's called Mars on HBO, which is like semi-documentary, semi-scripted, about people that are colonizing other planets. And like, she's getting serious about this. I'm like, she's about to come to me in 3 days and be like, if we buy now.
We had this conversation.
Yeah.
She's gonna be
like, I know it's coming. She's gonna be like, if we buy now, we can get one penny on the dollar, some good land on another planet. I'm gonna be like, okay, Joe.
I told you I did an episode of To Tell the Truth, and the person that's selling land on Mars was on there.
Oh, I'm telling you.
And people are buying it.
What is their number? I gotta get something just to chill my wife out.
I ain't letting her waste her money.
It can't be that expensive. But she's watching Power. Shout out to Julie for watching Power. Shout out to you for putting her onto it. Now, her rec league question is, she doesn't have one of the best teams in the league. And I've been there before. You know, we've won championships. We've also been on the bottom of the barrel. And here's one thing I notice is when a team gets up by 20, they play different. It's just nothing you can do. Like, it's just like all of a sudden the people on the court look a little different than the other people that were on the court. The plays look a little different. You try to get other people buckets. Like, you could tell if people try to cross you over and do fancy stuff. Like, you can't help it. But here's another thing is here's my advice to Julie is when the other team downshifts, you can chip into that lead. This happens to us a lot. When, you know, the other team gets up by 20 in the first half. Next thing you know, they look up. It's a 3-point game. They got to call timeout. You can chip into the lead. If the other team's playing around a little bit, that's when you go harder.
The worst thing in basketball sometimes is having a big lead early.
Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. I've been watching games with you, and it'll be a game, and I don't know, it'll be like Pacers against the Nets, and you'll be like, it'll be like the Nets will be up by 17 at the start of the second half. You'll be like, watch, Pacers gonna win. I'll be like, what? He's like, watch. And then come to find out, it happens.
Because a lot of times, sports is dictated by momentum. And when I'm watching a game or playing a game, it's not that they're beating you, it's how they're beating you. So, is it a guy that don't normally make threes all of a sudden knock down three threes?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, a crazy move done happen and all of a sudden you get two bad calls and they become and ones.
The crowd gets into it, you get four straight possessions and the crowd's fired up, carries the team for a little bit.
Couple of bad turnovers that lead to unforced stuff, that type of thing. Yeah. So, what is your advice for?
My advice for her is you play possum a little bit. I mean, first of all, she said she's having fun. That's all that matters. My advice is also do adult beverages after the game. Don't drink and drive, but do adult beverages after the game. It makes my Wednesday experience so much better. You know what I mean? And I got two pieces of advice. Number one, adult beverages after the game. Having fun is the most important thing. Number three is going to be play possum. You know, play possum.
I'll answer her food question. So basically, she acknowledged that in New York City, she sees a lot of people walking,
mm-hmm.
but not a lot of people eating as they do so.
I disagree.
I disagree with that.
This city is the number one ranked city.
I was going to say, every time I see somebody in New York, they're either on their phone or eating.
Yeah, I think.
Or texting.
I think she got it backwards because it's regional and it's New York City. What are the most popular foods in New York City? Slice of pizza. You can eat it while you're walking.
Hot dogs.
Eat it while you're walking. Bagel. Eat it while you're walking. This bacon, egg, and cheese. Eat it while you're walking. Like, we basically don't use plates. Like, this entire city does not use plates. It's time.
How about this for a distinction? In New York City, they have food trucks that I call street meat.
Yeah, but New Yorkers don't use that.
In Los Angeles, they have fruit trucks.
I want to thank our caller, and I want to thank Joseph Secor for coming through. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, KRS?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
I love them.
All I care about is my nipples. Seriously.
Speaking of the Hobbits, let's talk about LeBron James for a second.